Cumulus Broadcasting is proud to present the only show of its kind in the Fox Valley designed to inform you on how to go green, live green, and save green. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union, naturally a better financial. Here's your host, Bill Schultz.
Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight. How are you doing today? We are once again going to talk a little bit about saving you money, go green, living green, and saving green. And we have been, for the last few weeks, talking to some vendors who are at the Home and Outdoor Living Show, and we wanted to bring some people in who perhaps you had a chance to talk to, maybe you didn't have a chance to talk to, see what's up with them, see what is new on the forefront of their business. And with Blackhawk Heating, we have Rick McCutcheon, who is the geothermal specialist over at Blackhawk. So, Rick, good seeing you. How you doing?
Yeah, real good, Bill. Good to see you, too.
A lot of things happening in the geothermal business. It's kind of like back in time, because there was something that was going on before, and then it stopped. Now it's back. So why don't you explain what we're talking about here?
Yeah, pretty exciting news. We just got notification last week that the 30% tax credit on the cost of a geothermal installation is back and ready to go. So if you install a system, you get 30% back on that install price.
Explain what happened there, because that was going on for a while. Didn't you have tax credits there for quite a few years?
We did, Bill. For 2009 through 2016, we had that 30% tax credit.
Wow.
And when they went to sign the new bill at the end of 2016, somehow geothermal got struck out of the bill at the 11th hour, literally as it was going in to get signed. And we've been working really hard with the national organizations to try to get that. They realized what they had done. They realized that they made a mistake, but it's taken a year and a half to get that back. Everything is retroactive. So if somebody did install a system from January 1st, 2017 until present, you can go back and get that 30% tax credit on that installed system.
So do we know what happened there? Is that the political world that you don't relate to? What goes on there?
There's a lot of hearsay, but yes, I'm going to just leave it at the political
world.
Well,
you know, I had, and this is going back a few years ago on this show, I had a politician who was actually a lobbyist for renewable energy. And he talked to me a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes, and that was kind of the subject of the show that we had. And I could not believe all the red tape.
You scratch my back,
yes.
I scratch yours.
Oh, my gosh. It was going on all over the place. Yep. So no wonder why things aren't working the way they should in Washington.
Some people, this is my belief, is that there are certain people out there that did not want geothermal to succeed because it took money out of their own pockets.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but that's what it seemed like.
Yeah. So explain to people who don't know what a tax credit actually means in the source of you doing business with a customer.
Well, the tax credit that is in place right now, as long as you pay federal taxes to the IRS, a tax credit comes off of the actual installed price, not like a rebate.
Right. Okay.
Right. So if you spend $10,000, if you send $10,000 to the IRS over the course of a year and you get a tax credit, and that tax credit is $10,000, you just get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
Up to whatever that 30% comes out to be.
Okay, so that 30%, when you're looking at that number, because a lot of times percentages don't really mean anything to anybody, but when you look at a 30%, you're talking about a significant savings here that you, as a consumer, if you're going to do some comparison between a geothermal and, let's say, a conventional furnace, that savings is probably going to be almost the cost of a furnace.
That is exactly
right?
Correct. It almost offsets it 100%.
Yeah.
So the day that you get your tax credit back, you are at a break even with a comparable fossil fuel burning system. So it's a very nice tax credit.
And at the same time, you factor in what you're going to be saving for years to come with geothermal.
Right. Money back, if it's a break even the day you get that tax credit back. Now it's you know, $1,000 savings annually on your heating or, and cooling bills, or $2,000, whatever, you know, depending on the situation. But it's a substantial amount of savings right from the get-go.
Rick McCutcheon with us, who is the geothermal specialist at Blackhawk Heating. Rick, talk a little bit about the maintenance that is involved with geothermal. I think people know the maintenance that's involved with a conventional furnace system. What goes into a service, I guess, long-term project? You get a geothermal system. Is there a lot of maintenance? Is there an annual maintenance system that you do? What happens with geothermal?
With geothermal, because there are no fossil fuel, there's no gas, there's no carbon monoxide. They're a lot safer because they are electrically driven compressors. Now, if you choose to do maintenance on a geothermal system, which I do recommend you do because you will keep the efficiencies up, when we go in to do a maintenance on a geothermal system, what we're looking at, I don't want to get too technical here, but it's called a heat of extraction, heat of rejection, which is how we measure the efficiencies of the equipment. We want to make sure that the coils stay clean, which is a filtering system. I want to check to make sure that the flow rates are accurate so that I'm transferring the energy accordingly. So maintenance, is it required? Yes. It is typically less than a gas furnace or even an air conditioner for that matter because of the type of technology. But it, number one, it's a lot safer. So
is it an annual thing?
It's not a bad idea.
Okay.
It'll cost you a lot of money. If you have a problem that doesn't get caught, it's going to cost you a lot more money because of the cost of operation versus spending the $139 to get that furnace or that geo unit checked annually to make sure there are no problems with it.
If you want to call Blackhawk Heating, you can call them. Let's put out the general number here with the Appleton number, which is 757-9990. That's 757-9990. When people are looking at geothermal systems, Rick, a lot of times what they're looking at is a little bit of a different breed than they're used to if they're normally with a furnace system. And a lot of times it takes a while for them to wrap their head around how a geothermal system works and why it's beneficial. And I know going to all the shows that you go to, you must have literally hundreds of conversations like that every single weekend. So kind of go through the highlights of what people wonder about geothermal and how you explain it to them.
Sure. The large, you're 100% right, Bill. The majority of the questions, the number one question is, how can I heat a house with 50-degree ground temperature? That's like everybody knows that geo has somehow connected to the earth, and that's around 50 degrees. Well, the magic is in the box, which is in the basement, and it's in the refrigeration system. All we do is we move that 50-degree ground temperature through a water solution into the geothermal unit, which is the refrigeration system. We transfer or move about 5 to 8 degrees from that earth temperature to the refrigerant. Then that refrigerant goes through the compressor. It condenses that energy, and I get 100-degree air out of that 5 degrees that I just brought into the building. We don't add anything. We don't add, you know, there's no gas on these systems. We don't add electric heat to them. Again, the magic is in the refrigeration system.
Mm-hmm. And so is it that small amount of, because you're getting the ground temperature, which is 50 degrees, give or take, and just adding a few more degrees, is that why it's so efficient? Because it doesn't have to zoom up to 70 degrees or something along those lines from 0 degrees. Is that accurate?
The reason that they're really efficient is because you're moving, let's say, 4 units of energy with the earth, that doesn't cost you anything. Your cost is the 1 unit of energy in electricity to run the compressor, the pump, and the blower motor. So you essentially get 5 units of heat for $1 spent for 1 unit of energy.
Gotcha.
So that's what makes that so efficient. It's easy to move heat. It's hard to make heat. And we're not making it. We're just moving it.
Can anyone have geothermal? Is there restrictions on where you live, how you live, that would prohibit anybody from having geothermal?
No. I can put a geothermal system in 100% of the homes in the United States. I don't care where you are. I don't care what your temperatures are. Now, with that being said, there might be certain applications where it just might not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way that we can determine that is with a site visit.
Okay. And explain that a little bit. When you do a site visit, what does that entail?
I take a look at the existing heating and cooling system. I take a look at the lay of the land. How big the piece of property is? Are we sitting on rock? Is there a lot of woods? Is there a lake nearby? Pond nearby? Sizing the equipment.
Why does all that matter?
Because we have choices. I can put in a horizontal loop field. I can put in a vertical loop field. I can put in a pond loop. I can do an open loop. I have to look at the distributions or the existing heating system to determine what are we going to put in. If you have existing radiant heating, I'm going to design a different type of geothermal unit for that application versus a home that has just straight forced air furnace and air conditioner with ductwork.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that plays a role. One system is more expensive than the other. A forced air system is always my least expensive with a horizontal loop field. Whereas if I have to go with a vertical loop system where we actually drill vertically with a well driller, 180 feet per ton of geothermal or 12,000 BTUs, that's much more expensive than going with a horizontal loop field.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
no, go ahead.
Typically, we're seeing something like that. Again, if we have rock right below the surface where I cannot go deep enough, or if it's a very small piece of property, maybe in a city or a town, if there's a lot of trees, a lot of landscaping, that's where we will usually go with the vertical loops.
Okay. I know, having you on the show a few times, we've talked about the misnomers with geothermal. People who have had geothermal, if there's anything against geothermal, they say it doesn't quite work. And I know, talking with you, you have said if it doesn't work, it wasn't installed properly.
That's correct.
So what's the proper installation? What's the biggest problem that people who install geothermal have with it not working properly?
They don't train. They don't understand thermal conductivity of soils. They don't know how to size the equipment or accurately size.
So it's undersized, usually.
Right. Undersized. A lot of them are oversized.
Really?
But oversized is also as bad as being undersized.
Hmm.
There is one size that is correct, and that's the right size. And if people don't understand the technology and believe in what it can do, they have a tendency to oversize a lot of the systems or oversize the loop field.
Mm-hmm.
Loop fields are as important as the indoor unit, if not more important.
It's always a great time for geothermal, but now with the tax credits, and we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about fuel prices. That's another thing that makes it a great time to look into geothermal. We'll take a break. Rick McCutcheon here with us from Blackhawk Heating. We'll be back after this.
Some better look at the eyes. Some better look at the nose. Some better look at the sides. Some better look at the toes.
Energy Question Spotlight. Rick McCutcheon with us from Blackhawk Heating, talking about geothermal. And Rick, we were talking too about the advantages of geothermal with the tax credit. A lot of times when we talk before, geothermal is a great renewable energy source, and people who are looking for something different are always looking for renewable energy, and geothermal is a great fit. But when people start doing some price comparisons, fuel prices come into the picture, and it always seems to be when fuel prices are down, people say, well, I'm good. I don't need. But geothermal never even factors into fuel prices, so you don't have to play that game. And right now, I think with the prices are starting to go up, people are starting to look at it again.
That's correct, 100%. You know, typically you see fuel prices being very volatile, depending on what's happening in the world, Are they fracking? Are they not? The LP prices, what, 3 years ago, they were over $3, $4, $5 a gallon for LP gas, propane gas. Natural gas, it also goes up and down, maybe not as drastic as propane, but I am seeing everything back on the rise after the lowest fuel prices that we've seen in 20 years last year. They are now getting back to normal prices. So we're seeing a very sizable savings when I'm comparing to these fossil fuel burning furnaces and air conditioners.
So it's not really even a factor when you're dealing with geothermal. You don't have to look at fuel prices.
No, it's flatline. Electric, not that it doesn't go up, but it is, if you look over the course of the last 20, 30 years, it's on a gradual increase. No spikes and valleys like gas is.
So when you work with someone with geothermal, do you kind of map out, this is kind of what your energy bill is going to be?
Yes. Yeah,
and it doesn't change.
Correct. Right. Year after year, it's the same thing every year. And I can compare it to whatever price we want to put in there for the gas, whether I'm using natural or propane. Up at the last home show, I was talking to a gentleman up in just north of Green Bay. He's paying $1.89 for propane already. The average seems to be about $1.50 to $1.60. Some people that pre-bought this year earlier in the summer, they're only paying $1.30. But even when I'm looking at those prices, the geothermal is a 70% savings compared to the normal price of propane gas.
I was just going to ask you that. Talk about the percentages of savings and how you work with that.
We'll do the long version,
okay,
but I'll do it short. So
okay,
number one, I have to determine how many BTUs it takes to heat this home that I'm in. Once I have that number, then I can plug and play what fossil fuel are we going to use. If it's propane gas, like I said, at today's prices, it's usually about a 70% savings for heating, cooling, and hot water. If I'm comparing it to natural gas, right now, it's only about a 30 to 40% savings because natural gas has not climbed as quickly as a propane has. Is it going to? I don't know. I have a hard time believing it's going to stay where it is, but you just never can tell.
You know, you just touched on something and just kind of cruised right by it, but it's something that I always find quite impressive about geothermal is that it handles your heating, your cooling, your hot water, and a lot of people just think of it as heating or just cooling, but it's the whole deal. It's the whole unit. And in the conventional systems, you need three different devices to handle this.
Right. You know, that's a very good point, too. You know, we talked about the serviceability of these systems. Having the geothermal in one box, it's going to be like your furnace, your air conditioner, and a good portion of your potable hot water, servicing one piece of equipment versus servicing three.
Yeah,
another savings. I guess I never really thought of that.
Right. See, that's why I'm here.
Thanks, Phil.
And return on investment. Do you run the numbers for people and put it on spreadsheet or something so people can see what the return on investment would be?
I do on every single job. It's in black and white so people can see what they will spend with the gas furnace and air conditioner and water heater versus the geothermal in comparison. So then it's pretty simple. If it's a $1,500 a year savings and the geothermal unit is, $5,000 more, well, that's a 3-year return.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with these tax credits, that's about what we're seeing.
Rick McCutcheon with us, who is the geothermal specialist of Blackhawk Heating. And the number again to reach is 757-9990. That's 757-9990. So here's a loaded question for you. You lay it all out. It makes perfect sense of why people should use geothermal. So the question is, why aren't they? Why isn't everybody jumping on this bandwagon that you don't have to worry about what's going on with fuel prices?
A loaded question deserves a loaded answer because it's not one simple answer. There's a couple of different things that I've heard from our customers why they don't do it or what they've heard, and a lot of it is what they've heard. There has been some bad installations. And again, like we touched base on a little bit earlier, where the people that jumped into doing geo without really the training or the passion to learn more and get better with it, there was a bad taste in their, in their mouth or their neighbors or their friends or whoever it may have been. So that's a portion of it. The other portion, people just don't understand it and they're skeptical. They yep. think it's new technology, even though it's been around for 60, 70 years. It is not new. It is getting better and better every day. Yep. Our technology just improves over and over.
And I get a little skittish even when I say it, because I know it's been around for that long, yet I still say it's new technology. It just kind of comes out because it's new in the mindset of a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. Not a lot of people have seen it or heard of it. It's obviously getting bigger and bigger now. But
so how much training, once you've got geothermal down, you've been training for years, geothermal, how much changes in the course of a year or 3 years or 5 years with what is changing?
Well, the technology, for starters, we just rolled out with the first and only variable speed compressor in a water-to-water unit, meaning this geo unit, it's like having a boiler, a chiller for chilled water air conditioning. It will do 100% of the potable hot water, and it's all with the inverter-style compressor, which now the inverter compressor is relatively new to the U.S. market, but over in Europe, who are light years ahead of us with hydronic heat,
isn't it?
It's the first one in the U.S. here now, and it is unbelievable. So from a technology standpoint, I would say that's the biggest thing. But what else changes? Boy, you know, I learn something every day. Every time I go out to install a loop field or work on a piece of equipment, I learn something new.
Now, do you go to schools? Are there schools that training schools? Do you do it online? Well, how do you always stay up on things?
Well, online, it's a lot of the above. Wisconsin Geothermal Association, we have our annual conference coming up tomorrow. It actually starts tomorrow. I learn there. There's speakers, there's seminars, always going through my distributor. They're always offering classes to refresh or update, or if they see some problems, how to make sure that we don't make that same mistake again. So there's always training available if you look for it.
Now, obviously, we're talking about Blackhawk Heating, and you're the geothermal specialist, but then the next layer is the equipment, which is through distributors and things along those lines, and I think people sometimes can, again, they do the comparison to furnaces and say, well, I know this furnace name, I know that furnace name. In the geothermal world, there's also furnace names. Some of those, I would say almost most of those, to the average consumer, has never heard of. So
correct.
Is there a difference there?
I like to say that a box is a box. The best thing that you can do is choose a geothermal dealer that lives and breathes it and understands it. You have to be comfortable with the contractor that's installing that system and does everything themselves, not separating loop fields versus the box.
Explain that, because you do it yourself, but a lot of people don't.
Correct.
So what are they doing? Are they hiring out? What's going on?
Yeah,
there?
A lot of the contractors out there that install geothermal systems, they don't like to get dirty. They don't like to dig their own holes and put their own loop fields in. So they hire what's called a looping contractor. So the looping contractor comes in, digs a hole, puts the pipes in the ground with whatever you tell them. I want a 4-ton loop field, they put in a 4-ton loop field. But what doesn't happen is that looping contractor doesn't know the size of the load of the house, the heating load, what's required.
Because they weren't with you.
Right. They just are told what to put in.
Uh-huh.
Well, when we go out to do a loop field, I might very well size a 4-ton loop field. But then I get there and I start digging, and boy, and I look at that thermal conductivity of that soil, of that condition, of that space, and say, you know what, this is not enough. I need to put another, now I need to do a 5-ton or a 6-ton loop field and not a 4-ton loop field. So because we do everything ourselves, we don't have subcontractors, we don't sub out the loop fields, we take 100% liability of that installed system.
Nice.
So
peace of mind. That's a big difference.
It's huge.
Wow. So when you're going out, you're constantly, from the initial meeting with the client, and you're going, okay, I'm going to assess where your home is at right now. Then you get underground. It's almost maybe another little world there. Then you're connecting everything, and that's another little world there. Then you're probably running it and testing it. That's another world.
Right.
So everything has to work.
It does. It's not just one piece. Everything has to work like a well-oiled machine. And if it's not, that's when you run into the problems.
Rick McCutcheon with us from Blackhawk Heating. Rick, when people have never worked with geothermal before, talk to them a little bit about what's the difference. I've had a furnace in my house. Is this unit that you're talking about, this box, where does it go? Do I get rid of my furnace? How much room does it take? All those little details.
The majority of our installations, it would be like pulling your furnace and your air conditioner out and getting rid of them, and the geo unit will sit right in the place of your furnace.
Okay.
The size of it, it's a little bit bigger, but it's not going to change the footprint of the ductwork. So Okay. Wherever your furnace is and the return air duct that comes down to it, that's basically what it's going to look like right now.
And I don't want to mislead anybody because these are moving parts. These are mechanical things. Is there one of those things where once you hook it up, there's always some tweaking that goes on? Is that what happens? Do you go back and analyze it? What happens there?
Well, sometimes yes. The majority of the time, no, especially with our forced air systems. If I get into a new construction project that it maybe has a lot of that's more intricate, then yes, we may have to go back and tweak things here and there. But it usually has to do with the radiant zones, not necessarily with the geothermal unit. It's the distribution systems that usually require the tweaking. As far as analyzing it, we actually put on a lot of, they're called a TED, a TED, where I can actually monitor these pieces of equipment from my office, see how efficient, how many kilowatt hours they're consuming. So we can kind of watch that stuff even from our shop.
Okay, great. Before we go, I want to mention again, tax credits going on. How long is this going until, tax credits?
The 30% stays intact until 2020. Then it drops to 26% for 2 years, I believe. And then it drops another 3 or 4% until 2022. So essentially the next 4 years right now.
But with Congress and government, this could change five times by then.
That's the truth.
So it's Geothermal Blackhawk Heating. He is the man, Rick McCutcheon. Again, the number is 757-9990. Thanks very much, Rick.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for listening to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union. Naturally, a better financial. Listen next week when we spotlight another business and show you ways to go green, live green, and save green. If you would like to be a guest on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, please contact Bill Schultz at 920-230-0801.